Y'all ready for part two?
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. For those of you that asked me what I saw for the new year, the best thing I can tell you is what I found in the word that I since described what I saw. And I only have one prop, and Aaron is ready when I'm ready for it. Two portions of scripture. The first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right after 1 Timothy. For all you Bible scholars, bless your hearts, you get there before me sometimes. I got all my bookmarkers, and then they fall inside the pages, and then I don't know where they went. Sly little rascals they are. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I have to put it like this. If I look out the window, by that I mean I'm speaking, what do I see outside of the church community, outside of what God has to offer? What do I see first with my natural eyes? And it's this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And these are the times, if I could come to particular portions of scripture, that I think we're not ignorant of those things. But this is what I see right now. And it's interesting how accurate this is, because God already saw it long before we came on the scene. And we have, you know, Jesus told us about there would be certain things that we would observe or that we would see that would indicate his coming, because he said he didn't even know the day or the hour. So we shouldn't go around trying to pinpoint the time or following after those that have the exact day all figured out, because then they're smarter than God. And we know what happened to the guy that thought that. He definitely took a great fall. So that's what I see out the window. But my response to that is what I see within. And I say within, inside here, but within the body of Christ. And Aaron, just before you put the slide up, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we'll read verses 7 and 8. And this is when I'm looking for the truth and to find the contrast, if you will, to when I use the phrase looking out the window, I'm talking about, obviously, the things that we see in the world without any faith in the Lord, the unsaved, And we wouldn't and we shouldn't expect them to live by our standards, because it's absolutely impossible without Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this is what I see within the body. This is what I see. This is the good part. All right? Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and it spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that's what I really see. Now, I have this in the New Living Translation, which I also like, and I'll read those verses from there as well. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Okay, Aaron, I guess if you can slide that picture over. It's one I took in our backyard this week to go along with this, because it reminded me so much of these verses of Scripture. There we go. All right. This is a cedar tree right near our deck. When we first moved into our house 31 years ago, that was just a tiny little thing about this big around. But the nifty thing about it is behind that tree and off in that direction, there is a drainage ditch that surrounds the back of our property, because there's a pretty steep wooded bank there. And every time we get a lot of rain, the water comes down off of that hill, ultimately ends up in our cellar, some of it, but it fills the ditch first before it gets to the house often. And when that tree was a baby, I want to show you this one little, maybe I can, nah, never mind. There's a little root right there. That little root has multiplied by hundreds of little roots, and they are all under the snow, and they're all growing out towards where that water is. And even in the middle of the summer, that tree don't give a squat whether we get 40 days of heat and no rain or nothing. It has just continued to grow. And look at how the bottom of it, those are all roots that got so big that they're literally out of the ground, and yet they go great distances across our yard. I always cut the grass barefoot. That way I find all the roots and the branches to watch out for with the lawnmower. And so, yes, I mow the lawn with a barefoot. But I always let go of the handle in case of emergencies. I may only lose one toe instead of a foot. But so far, God has been good. And that tree is a giant of a tree now. If you'll also find references in the Scriptures that the body of Christ prophetically will be like the cedars of Lebanon. And they grow in a very arid climate, and their root structure is incredible. And to use this tree as an example is exactly that. Look at this. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. So this is you. This is you and this is me. We are like trees planted along a riverbank. Well, we have that water barrier area. And don't you know those roots go to the back of the house where that water is instead of towards the front where the driveway is. I mean, even plants are intelligent. And those roots, all these years, have gone back to where that water is. And whether it's a drought period of time, like sometimes we don't get any rain for 6 or 8 weeks, usually by the mid-July through the end of August at least, it tends to be dry. And I've noticed that tree no matter what kind of weather's going on, no matter what's going on externally, get the picture, get the parable, okay? No matter what's going on externally, within that tree, it knows where there's a source of life. We renew our minds to the Word, the washing of the water of the Word. Just like that tree, it continues to thrive because its roots go to the source of the water. Its roots go to where it gets its nourishment from. And all that that tree is, and continuously, every year, no matter how dry it is, it produces little things that fall off it at the end of the year, like evergreen trees do. But it also produces little baby cones. And this year I was graced to be able to rake them up after the ground froze instead of in the spring when that whole yard is just full of water. And it just reminded me so much of the one whose trust is in the Lord. Your roots, as long as your roots are in Him, as long as your roots are in the water of His Word, as long as your roots are in the river of the Spirit that flows out of the temple. See, these portions were kind of connected today, and that's why I was hoping I'd have time to do the longer one first, but to end it with this, so that this is a picture of you as God sees you. Your roots go deep. I know when we come together that you're very serious about the Word, and that is one of the beauties that I praise you when you're not around, because I don't want your heads to get any bigger than mine. But in circles that I entertain myself sometimes, I find it really wonderful to honestly and truthfully speak very favorably and very highly of all of you, because I know you're word people. A lot of people just come and hang out for an hour and they want to go home. But you're different. To me, these are the things, you ask me what I see, I'm telling you what I see, and you just got to take the good, okay? I mean it in a right way. This is what I see. When I look out the window, I see all that other stuff. But what I really see is I see you. I see you, each one of you, in this portion of Scripture. You're rooted, you're grounded, you have a solid, rock-solid foundation in your faith, and as time goes on and God begins to add and build on that foundation, you become just like that tree, that cedar tree, that was once nothing but a little, like a little sapling almost. In fact, we had a cat once that our neighbor's dog put the run to that cat, and he ran up that tree and he made it to the top of it. It was so small at the time we bought our house that he went all the way to the top of that tree in about three bounds with that dog right on his heels. And how tiny that tree is, but after 31 years, it's that. And I see that with each of you. So truthfully, I'm unashamed, and I'm very proud of all of you, because it's a real joy to come down here, and even hours before you get here, and to just go through the chairs and just lay hands on each of the chairs and thank God for your faithfulness, for your steadfastness, for your eagerness, for your zeal, for your joy, for your peace, for wanting to do the right thing. And that makes a huge difference in the outcomes when we come together and what we take home with us. It's more than just a social life. This is a real spiritual walk with the Lord that we have together. And it's very precious. It's very rare to find. And many who have come here have made that comment. And so I say that with a lot of joy, because it's the truth. And I see you as that tree. I see you as the ones who trust in the Lord. I see you as the ones who've made the Lord your hope and your confidence. That's what I really see. The other stuff, Paul told Timothy that's the way it was going to be in the end times. And so be it, it's true. We can't deny those things are real. But the real truth of the matter is, what else do we see? What's really going on? And this is what's going on. And I can't answer for other places, I know we're a part of the body of Christ, but God made this promise available. This is what you get if you continue to trust in the Lord, if you continue to make Him the object of your hope and your confidence, then that's what you'll be. That's the short part. Normally, we have a closing prayer, and I usually ask you if there's any prayer needs among you, and I will still make sure that we have that opportunity. But sometimes it's about the timing, and we cover all those things, and sometimes we change things up. And today I would like to, because I have a scriptural prayer that I would like to read it, but it is a prayer, and I don't want to mess it up. Because not that God couldn't fix what I messed up, but I'd like to, while we're very attentive about this part of who we are in Christ and what He's done in our lives and how thankful we are. So if you would just bear with me. Father, as concerning us, we thank You for the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to carefully guard our own mouths and choose to speak life, blessing, and prosperity over our cities, our nation, and its leaders. We thank You that we have been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Your dear Son. We commit to live free from worry in the name of Jesus. That tree didn't worry that it didn't rain for 6 weeks. For the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. We humble ourselves under Your mighty hand that in due season You may exalt us. We cast all our cares, all our anxieties, all our concerns and worries on You. You care for us affectionately, and You care about us watchfully. You sustain us. You will never allow the righteous to be moved or to slip or fall or fail. Father, we delight ourselves in You, and You perfect that which concerns us. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of You, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We lay aside every weight and the sin of worry, which does try so easily to beset us. We run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank You, Father, that You are able to keep that which we have committed unto You. We think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, virtuous and deserving of praise. We let not our hearts be troubled. We abide in Your words, and Your words abide in us. Therefore, we do not forget what manner of person we are. We look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, and thus blessed in our doing. Thank You, Father, we are carefree. We walk in that peace which passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
That is a lot in there. But as I had to write it down as I thought about it. And because it's true. It's true of you. And that's 99% of the reason that I love being here with you, because we're brothers and sisters in the most incredible organization known to all humankind. It's the body of Christ. And everywhere we go in the world, we have brothers and sisters that are meeting today, or that already have because of time zones. But they all come together too, and they're part of this body. We're like a microcosm of the bigger picture. But when it functions like what we experience here, it's because we've all done a lot of dying. Because that's what it takes to make it work, doesn't it? And so for that I'm thankful. And it's a joy to tell you that from time to time, because it's true. And I'm not ashamed of that, and I boast on you often. Now may I pray for anybody that needs prayer. And if not, we just had a really good one. Because the Lord heard it. It's all His word.